Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
Oh, it's on HBO, in case you didn't know. In case you watched the show somewhere else. You dirty pirates. You're going to have to face Daemon. He's coming
for you.
Crab
feeders. He's coming with the old bay, I saw someone on Twitter say. He's gonna,
I was wondering,
cook you up right.
What spice is it that he's able to force those crabs to feed? I didn't know, I guess the crabs had a natural hankering for human flesh. I suppose, like, there's a secret recipe that he's got.
I've heard it. There's at least one book I read. I can't remember what it was, where a gangster was his primary way of disposing bodies. He would go into Florida Everglades, just like net people down with cinder blocks, and they just like picked their skeletons clean. I don't know. I think crabs will eat damn near anything.
All right.
What'd you think? Did you eat this episode? Did you like this is spiced and seasoned well?
I sure did, and if you're listening to this, you might be asking, what episode was it? It was season one, episode three, Second of His Name. Yeah, I thought this episode was great. About 40 minutes into this episode, I saw the scene with Rhaenyra and Viserys, and I was like,
yeah.
Where Viserys promises that he won't pass over her.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's the scene of the episode. That's a great scene. Both these actors are killing it. I'm really invested. And then I saw that last scene and I was like, all right, that's the scene of the episode. Because, man, there's just a heavy metal cover for a shot at the end of that with Daemon carrying the body, dragging the body out of the cave.
Yeah. A crab nugget.
Yeah. Man, that was cool.
Imitation crab meat. That was cool. I did, during the first of that, wonder if they are wise to essentially shoot a 1980s action movie scene. With Daemon Targaryen just being the Arnold Schwarzenegger, kind of running one man against hundreds with ranged weapons, doesn't fucking matter. I don't know. I guess at the end, I thought it earned it. Like, if you are looking for stunning tactics and impressive strategery, this is not the show for it. And also, it's kind of like, this is part of the Martin canon. Like, Sir Barristan Selmy, we like Sir Barristan the Bold, right? He made his bones by single-handedly saving the Mad King Aerys from a stronghold. He, like, did, you know, like Lancelot does, was it Lancelot? I think it's Lancelot in
Monty Python.
Uh-huh. And the Crusade for the Cup or whatever the fuck. Holy Grail. Yeah, he just, like, once single-handedly comes in and destroys the whole...
Uh-huh.
He did that. He did that. Took some grievous wounds, but yeah. How about the... He did that. Like, so this is, like, kind of in Martin's wheelhouse. Like, I feel like it's more suited for Lord of the Rings to have, like, some kind of high elven lord or some kind of man with magic blood doing this kind of shit. But I don't know. Targaryen's as close to magic blood as we got in this universe. I wish it hadn't gone on as long. I wish they'd cut like the first wave or second wave of troops and then had the dragons come in. But I don't know. I can't be mad at it.
No, I do feel like there are some Monty Python comparisons to be made. I mean, the dragon felt to me like, you know, the scene where, I think it's the same scene. He's just charging for like, I don't know, 45 seconds and he's not getting any closer. And then all of a sudden he's on you. That felt like what was happening with Daemon's dragon in this episode. But I don't know. Some colossal strategic mistakes by the crab feeder. But
yeah,
what are you going to do?
I like the talky aspects of the episode even more. Like, I felt like Viserys was giving really big Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey, Lord Grantham energy as the hapless family head over this kind of dispirited hunt. It's like, you know, he played it like Hugh Grantham just, oh shit, I lost all our money again on a dodgy railroad. What am I going to tell Cora? That's kind of the affect he had throughout the episode. Like, oh God, I've made a mess of things. What am I going to do? But I loved all that stuff. I found myself starting to turn against Rhaenyra. Like, oh, come on. I know you're 17. I know this is a lot. I know this is some bullshit you've been through. But you got to start playing politics, girl. You are going to get your ass ate alive if you don't, like, at least pretend to give a shit about these lords and you know, flash out every once in a while. But
the thing is, by the end of the episode, you understand she doesn't think it matters. She doesn't think it matters at all. So
Yeah, yeah. And I still think the winning play is to try to, you know, pretend like it does. But, and him, I came away from this episode thinking, wow, what if she let Sir Criston Cole take down that white stag and she brings that into the camp rather than the boar? Like, what would that do to the feelings of the realm? Because it seems like a lot of people are just are back in the Hightower play of like, well, you got an heir of the penis now, my liege. Has it escaped your attention? But he's gonna stick true to Rhaenyra.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a vow this episode that I think he firmly intends to honor. It's gonna be a problem because everybody else expects him to do the opposite. So that should be interesting.
Yeah. Feel free to queue up some Q&A in the or the questions or comments or whatever in the chat. I'll be going through them here as soon as we get to the instant talk portion. If you're a club member, we do this live every Sunday night. What did you think about the queen versus the princess aspect of these episodes? I thought there's a couple lines that seemed designed to grate on Rhaenyra's nerves. Like, I felt like Alicent was trying to... I felt like what I was being told is there's been 3 years of her trying to win her best friend over and being conciliatory. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the episode where she's starting to get sick of Rhaenyra's shit. Because I noticed, like, even though she's, like, very much trying to kind of smooth things over, she orders Rhaenyra's bard away. She talks in the coach about how, like, oh, motherhood's not so bad. My child came so quickly and without any kind of fuss. And even, like, the handmaids were like, I don't know about if I'd say this in front of this girl, you know?
Yeah. No, I kind of like it when people step in it. Unintentionally. Is it Jason? It's just Jason. What? Okay, pick a lane.
Jason Lannister.
Pick a lane, Martin. Like, if you're gonna name everybody Daemon and Vaemon and Vagon and Egon and whatever, fucking don't put what, you a got Jason a, you got in a there. Problem, don't put you got a Bob problem with Frank, in.
You got a problem with Frank Valerian?
Yeah.
You got a problem with Frank?
I do.
Huh?
Yeah, I do.
For a third of his name? Hey, come Frankie. On. Frankie V.
Pick a lane. Lord of the Rings would never do this. That's all I'm saying.
Jason Lannister. Boy, yeah. He was really wanting to be a Hemsworth, wasn't he?
I guess so.
Yeah. I felt like they're like, can we plausibly, can we get Luke? Come on. We got the Westworld in. Can we get, no, none of the Hemsworths are calling us back. All
and
right.
They tried to put two of them in there to make it maybe stack up to a Chris.
Twice as nice, yeah.
Yeah, didn't work. No, I like it when he kind of steps in it with the king, right? Like, King's up there completely drunk on his makeshift throne, his temp throne. And he's, I don't know, just stepping in it all the time unintentionally. So I don't know. That stuff doesn't really bother me. I kind of like it because that's what people do, right? They say shit. They got things on their mind. They're not thinking about the other person quite as much as they should be. And they just say something wrong.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on a series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I got the feeling that it feels like it's very lonely to be Viserys at this point. Like, they're on that hunt. They kind of really, everybody was having fun at the feast, and he's just sitting up at the lone, getting kind of like angry, sullen, drunk. He thinks everybody is kind of like lick spittles and boot lickers and all this other stuff. Although I don't know. I think he's judging Lord Strong poorly. He seems to be the only one in the whole council that actually gives a damn about Viserys and his legacy.
Yes, I really like Lord Strong. He's becoming my favorite of the council members, pretty handily, actually.
What do you think about this proposal to marry the son of Corlys Velaryon, Laenor, which, if I already saw some people asking in chat, he is the gent who rode in on his dragon sea smoke. Mm-hmm. Described as a pale silver gray dragon, fairly young dragon, but still capable of flying and breathing fire. Really? What do you think of that as a match?
I think it's better than Rhaenyra marrying her baby brother.
What the fuck's wrong with Otto?
Right.
Otto is really, like, his brother tells him to jump, and Otto is like, how fucking high? You want me to jump over the Red Keep? Because that's what he feels like he's wanting to do. He's just pushing Dude. Hard, not even being artful with his white heart shit. Come on.
Yeah, he needs his own reality show or something where he's hooking people up with just the worst match possible, because it's twice in a row now.
I thought the other thing is, I thought the Boars, Gore, and Swords guys must be really happy because they essentially got a name check, a visual name check in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Can we claim anytime a bald guy just like moves? From now, I'm going to call that out. Every single time we see a bald guy, like, if they're going to be doing the Boars, Gore, and Swords guys front and center, I want to see some bald guys moving.
How about is it the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard? Is that what they're called? He's bald, right?
Yeah. We could claim him.
Mm-hmm.
That's our reference.
Yeah.
That's our season long reference.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff with like boars and stags and lions and just like a lot of symbology here that I feel is important if you're a Game of Thrones fan, especially with the first Lannister that I was aware of coming into this. I know his brother's on the council, but I didn't know that before. So
what did you think of... I spent this whole episode trying desperately to see if I get an update on Viserys' hand.
Me too. He keeps
not Otto, but his real hand. Uh-huh. And I'm like, God, I was like, I'm gonna have to go through frame by fucking frame. But then at the end, when him and Rhaenyra are talking, or no, him and Allison are talking, they just like put it front and center.
Oh, I missed it.
He's got.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh my God. He's waving in front of the camera for like 5 minutes and he's lost two fingers now. His pinky and ring finger on his left hand are completely gone. They're just
so he
withered,
can't get married.
Gray stumps.
That nullifies his marriage, right? If he can't wear the ring.
I don't think so by Westerosi law, right. But I'll have to check the tomes, you know, if you want me to do that.
Better be careful. He's going to go full Jamie here in a minute. Wrong hand.
Yeah, he's... But. I wonder what else, like, is, like, if you look under those robes, is he just a horror show of boils and
pus
marks and craters and
Yeah. Seems like it's not a problem anymore, though. Like, it hasn't spread. I would think in 3 years, if it was going to continue spreading, his whole arm would be gone or something.
Yeah.
So, it seems like they got it.
Yeah. Man, Damon's dragon, very whimsical looking. I just thought, like, when it was flying away at the end of the episode, it's just like, you know, just it's I don't know, it's very Seussian how snaky and long, and I guess it's cool, but when it's going through the air and it's like back legs are kind of paddling, it's I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's hilarious. I mean, I wouldn't want to be burnt alive, but that's also some. Did we get some attempts at dark humor in this episode? Like, I got a kick out of the Valyrian knight thinking that Prince Daemon is there to save him personally, and he just gets landed on. That got a. I guess it's not like a laugh from a good place, but it's a grim chuckle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rhaenyra putting Lady Red Wine down with how much cake have you been eating in service? I don't know. That was pretty something. Lady Mary from Downton Abbey would say. I thought it was pretty good.
What's the name of the guy who was born with the birth defect?
That's Larry. That's Larry.
Larry Lannister.
It's Larys. It's Larys Strong.
Larys Strong.
I can't remember if that's Lionel Strong's oldest or middle son.
I think they said
but
oldest.
He's the oldest. Makes sense that he's like a named character.
Old Larry Strong.
Yeah.
His reaction when, you know, she says that about the cakes, he's actively like eating one, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, no, there is a couple sly things I thought this episode. Nothing hilarious. I feel like if we're going to start, I guess, judging these guys head to head, the Rings of Power and House of Dragon. Rings of Power, much more funny, much funnier, much warmer than House of Dragon.
Much more lighthearted in places, too.
Yeah.
Maybe we can say how many farts worth of jokes were there in this episode.
Oh,
were
I would
like
give
three
it
three farts.
I would 4.5 farts, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, because farts is not that, especially that kind of fart, like a fear fart before a dismemberment, just not as funny as
this,
you know. It's no Three Stooges, that's for sure.
Nope.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Because we got just a ton of feedback that's accumulating.
Yeah, let's do that because I've got stuff to talk about, but I want
to
noodle.
We also
on
have
it.
a full podcast coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part where we are going to go to our YouTube chats and we are going to see what the people are saying out there, the audience is saying, and we're going to take some comments and questions from them. If you would like to watch our after show live, it's the freshest you can get. It's the quickest you can get our after show reaction. You got to go to support.baldmove.com to join the club. It's for as little as $5 a month. You get this, ad-free feeds, tons of other stuff. Please send your long-form feedback to hotd@baldmove.com. We will be considering that on a feedback show later this week, probably Thursday, I think. Wednesday, maybe Thursday. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/baldmove, if you want to keep up with all the latest goings on with Bald Move.